Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 31st. Joining us this morning is the principal at St. Bernard's Catholic Schools, Paul Shanahan.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir. A little Vujia day. Our quote this morning comes from Hugh Romney. Okay. When you discover the management, there's nothing to do but go to work for it. His nom de plume was Wavy Gravy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, my. Trying to look and figure out where life is here. What are some of the challenges that are facing Catholic schools now? I mean, we hear so much about some of the different challenges that private schools have got. You've got the offline, was it University of Phoenix?
Right.
And Southern New Hampshire. I didn't realize there was a Northern New Hampshire University, but that's okay. I thought it was just Dartmouth, frankly, and University of. Has that opportunity and ability to get offline or out of the school education started to impact anything with either private schools, Catholic schools, schools in general?
You know, America is made up of parents that enjoy choice. They love choice and they want what's best for their sons and daughters. And that's why we have this, you know, huge homeschooling, independent study system here in America. We've got charter schools, the online systems you're talking about, private options, and some great public schools. So for us at St. Bernard's, you know, as you know well, as far as Catholic goes, you know, we've been ecumenical for a long time. We draw from a community of many faiths, and you know, right now we're looking at about 35% of the population being Catholic. So what we offer,
the school body,
yeah, and what we offer is an opportunity. You know, God can be a part of the conversation. You know, faith can be part of the conversation every day. You can open your school day with prayer. And, you know, when you're counseling a student, you can talk about, you know, your neighbor and how to treat each other and how difficult life is. And, you know, listening to President Trump last night, he brought up the opioid epidemic we know so well, and, you know, tens of thousands of people dying every year. And I think part of that is, you know, we all walk around with that emptiness inside, and you start throwing drugs, alcohol at that hole, you don't fill it up. Right. You don't.
Well, a normal experimentation, too, during that age period. I still am trying to wrap my head around, okay, it's a class of drugs, but okay, give me the names that I would recognize instead of, you know, the opioids. It's kind of like, you know, some of the stuff you see on TV.
Right.
What is
it?
Why do I? Okay. You know, Latin and biology and chemistry were those three were not long suits that I drew to.
Right. So you have the heroin family, right?
Okay. I recognize that one.
Okay. And so let's take that and make a synthetic option and let's now prescribe it. And you end up with addiction.
So the morphines and things like that?
You can't shake it.
Or codeine.
We've seen it time and time again, middle, upper middle class families, especially, you know, East Coast, just, you know, losing their sons and daughters.
Are you guys, have you experienced this tide?
We haven't. No, thank God.
It's not tide pool.
But yeah. The tide pod challenge.
Tide pod. There we go.
No, you know, and that is really a creature of this culture of trying to get attention online. You know, how many people will watch what I'm doing and click that they like what I'm doing, right?
In the past, you were ostracized as being stupid.
In the past, you might be in your room alone or in your basement, right? No one knew you were there. You were reading your books, your comic books, doing whatever you were doing in the basement. But now you can be in that same basement reaching out to millions of people. And there again, you're looking for that. You do get a chemical hit in your brain when you go check online and see the likes you're getting on your pages. So it's a tough road for some kids. It is.
Do you
have
to incorporate those discussions into the, not curriculum necessarily, but during the school day?
Absolutely. I think we'd be really deficient not to. When the phone, that cell phone, that device that can connect them to the world is really more important than almost anything else in their life.
Yeah, almost more than, I mean, when we were going through, it was car.
Oh, no, yeah. A lot of our teenagers today do not get their driver's license. They don't need to. You know, we drive around looking for fun. Now you know where to go. There's no question marks. You know how to get there, and you don't need to pay for insurance. You don't need to pay the car payment. You don't have to get that second job. You just, you know, the hangout's right there. You don't even have to leave your basement.
Get your video game and go to town, huh?
But to your question, absolutely we address, cell phone use, smartphone use, technology use.
Social media
and the consequences. And we, kids are great. Kids want to learn. If you give them good examples and you show them some of the issues, they're willing to learn. But at the same time, I have a 12-year-old. He loves to come home and just get on a screen or a device. And as parents, it's something you have to monitor constantly.
Yeah. when these guys were going through, it was, okay, where's the computer?
Right. Uh-huh.
And, you'd hear the phone line thing go on,
Yeah.
Things have changed a little bit.
Right. Growing up for me was, you're not going to have a TV in your room. Well, now, of course, they have access to everything.
Oh, we don't have TVs anymore.
Screen. Yeah, right. Oh, they're carrying it around in their pocket.
Yeah. Or we just have big flat screen computer or monitors, right?
Right. Or
monitors in the room.
The Fahrenheit 451 wall, eventually it'll just be from 80 inch
to 90
inch.
Some of these things are that big. If you put a dresser underneath it.
Right. No. You don't want to be there when the earthquake
hits. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. The earthquake, it's as strong as like the China cabinet against the wall. I suppose you probably would.
Right.
Oh, man. Oh, man. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. Paul, considering some of the different things that are out there in today's front page, lead story, whatever reference we want to talk about being discussed, there is an awful lot of talk and thought wrapped around visas and that kind of stuff. Legal, illegal, green card, that card, purple card, orange card. I don't know what the cards are, but I'm still trying to remember all the suits and the deck of cards, let alone the colors of what they represent. You've got a significant international component.
We do.
At SB.
We do.
Is it something that is becoming more challenging as attention is being paid, less challenging because there are rules and you follow the rules and everything's okay? What kind of dynamics are going on in that arena for you?
Yeah, so we work with the federal government, and it's a non-immigrant student visitor visa that's getting issued to our students coming from China, South Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, Spain. We try to diversify and grab from all over the world for the benefit of our own students here in Humboldt. And what you find is there is such a benefit to, both countries involved in the exchange that it is pretty seamless. We'll have a student apply. We'll see the application. We'll say, yes, we want to do an interview. At that point, it's a face-to-face across Skype. You meet the
Can you say that?
Skype.
Is that a phrase?
Oh, yeah.
Face-to-face on Skype?
Your audience knows what I'm talking about.
No, I
That's
understand.
Face-to-face. You're face-to-face. Come on. There might be several thousand miles between you, but you're face-to-face.
All right. They may be sitting there naked, but that's okay.
Oh, no. Not these students. Now, haven't run across yet. Haven't run across. No. Well-dressed in a tie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, David Sharp, I think, wore shorts sometimes, but no. Yeah, so at that point, you like the student, you accept the student, and you know, we issue an I-20. They go and do an interview and try to get permission to leave the country. And about 90% of the time, that's a yes. Occasionally,
they have to be permission to leave as well as
they do.
Come
yeah,
in.
Mm-hmm, right from their own country.
What would hold that up?
If their English wasn't quite good enough, if there were any issues with their paperwork,
It's technical stuff.
Okay. It actually is. It's pretty easy. The Chinese government is a pretty easy yes for its citizens. Surprisingly, Vietnam a little less so. It's a tougher go. You know, we've had some fantastic candidates that get denied.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, you know, you wonder. You want to, you know, that sense of keeping your human resource close and not exposing them further to Western influence.
So, once they get the visa and they're here, we've heard an awful lot of talk about expired visas.
Yeah.
And is this the kind of visa that they're referencing?
No, not this group. This group is a group that their pathway, a few years at an American high school, St. Bernard's, acceptance to a quality U.S. university, and then at that point, the decision's made. You know, are we going to keep them on for a little bit? You know, the government decides, or do they go home and help, you know, the family factory, the family business, and then come back.
So the visa is good as long as the educational experience.
Right. If they're performing well in school, you know, making good choices, of course, not running abreast of the law at all, then absolutely. You know, a lot of our universities right now are getting additional income because they're charging these international students quite a bit more, which then subsidizes our U.S. citizens and gives them that opportunity for less.
What's the reaction as a student body? I mean, I can remember when I was going through at Eureka High, there was the Rotary program and AFS. Those mm-hmm. were the two, and it was always either a junior or a senior,
right?
And a little bit of a buzz. Mm-hmm. Oh, so and so from typically there were European countries, France mm-hmm. or Spain, or you know,
right,
was going to be here, mm-hmm. you know, in the novelty part.
Right.
Because it's a larger percentage of the population and the school year starts with everybody, mm-hmm. What's that dynamic like?
You know, it isn't as novel anymore. It's just who we are. It's our identity. You know, we're a diverse community. As far as integration, it's really personality dependent. It's not even country dependent. Yeah, Andy, for example, was in the Rotary ambassador program, and he was voted most inspirational by all the candidates across the county. You know, so you have those live wire, bright, funny kids that come, and you know, they're going to connect wherever they go. You drop them anywhere, they're going to. And then there's the, you know, we have students that they're coming for one reason, and that's to get amazing grades, and that their idea of that is put their nose in a book and keep their nose in the book as long as possible every day.
Is there an attempt to draw them out?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know mm-hmm. some of the cultural expectations right. are different than what we would anticipate or expect with the kids that are kind of in the neighborhood, so to speak. Is there an attempt to level that playing field or to respect the cultural dynamics that are from where they come and just honor those?
Brian, I'm a huge proponent of balance, right? It goes for our local students that might not want to study as much to the ones that are studying too much. So we have an international program that has we have a club, we have peer buddies, and then the dorm leadership does a great job of getting our students out in the community, volunteering for Betty Chin. We had a group of about 18 students from the dorm out there a couple weekends ago working with Betty. They go out hiking, you know, places they've never been. You know, they wouldn't think to go hiking in the Redwoods. They don't really have a character in China for our giant sequoias. So that's something that really changes their worldview when they're out in our woods, in our forests, along our trails, and in our community.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Shanahan, principal at St. Bernard's. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redec, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese Factory. Paul, there's so many different things that if you or I were going to a school, and let's say it's collegiate, because at least it happened, rather than at a high school setting, that would be pleasant diversions. Going and seeing, touching and feeling, particularly now at the mature ages that we're in.
Right.
If we went back, if you went back to your sophomore year in school.
In college or high school?
College.
Okay, got it.
Okay, your weekends are going to be spent a whole lot differently now than what they were because you're seeing, okay, I got X number of weekends. I'm in this place. I may not be in it ever again. Okay, you still have to suffer with the Santa Clara thing.
I did have Santa Cruz right over the mountains. I had some Coastal Redwoods.
What would you experience? What would you see that weren't priorities then?
Weren't priorities.
But would be now.
If I went back
like
now.
The Garlic Festival.
You know, I took advantage of garlic. I took advantage of the ocean. What I didn't take advantage of was I was in Silicon Valley just as it was ready to explode. And I had friends that got that and got in and connected, and you know they're long retired now. So for me, it would have been realizing, which of course hindsight, how much brain power, innovation, and excitement there was teeming in local businesses, right? So I had
right
the
whole, in that front wave.
The wave was there, and instead, you had the beach. I was working a lot of those weekends, but. Yeah, a lot of talent in the Valley at that point.
So how tough is it now not to project some of that in for those students that are at the high school now, whether they're domestic or international, to say, guys, get out, go see, don't fritter away your weekend, take advantage of what's here and kind of get that level of interest, that seed planted now so when they are in the collegiate setting.
Right.
They're out instead of playing games and, you know, the video stuff and doing some of that they're taking advantage of the opportunity.
Brian, you framed that so well. So Jim Ritter has been the catalyst for us at St. Bernard's. Jim Ritter has come in and he has opened up our community in California to our students. So how does he do it? Tomorrow he'll do it by bringing in 40 different businesses, Humboldt State, you know, CR, California State Parks, St. Joseph Hospital, Harper Motors, lots of folks to come talk to our kids. How does he do it? Month to month, he brings in panels of experts. You know, here's a whole panel of engineers. Here's a whole panel of writers, exposing our students to opportunities they don't even know exist. A lot of them think, okay, you go to high school, you go to college, you get a job, and that's the rest of your life. And then they have someone come in, say a college professor, say, no, actually, first I did this, and then I was a lineman for 5 years, and then I came back and got my graduate degree, and you know it was in medicine. I was going to be a doctor, and then now I'm a business professor. So that suddenly the pressure is off a little bit.
That explains some of the business classes that are offered too.
But there is that sense that you have to travel off one pathway to not just diversify, but to experience life. And I think we're often limited to our parents and families, you know, exposed to what they do. And what Jim does a great job of is exposing the students to St. Bernard's and really across the county. He does this in Northern Humboldt, Southern Humboldt, to all the opportunities and the fact that this beautiful county draws talent from all over the world.
And one of the things, inverting that also, that I found really interesting, and I don't know if it's changed now with so much social media and technology being available, but of the graduates that go on to, let's say, the traditional 4-year model.
Right.
what a huge percent stay in California or the West Coast, never entertaining leaving the time zone.
Right.
It just isn't part of the thought process. And how many schools there are that are literally throughout the country that are really cool that may or challenge them a little bit differently.
Right, right.
But the concept of, you know, getting out of Dodge.
And part of that is that we have the best university system in the world here in California. That's part of it. Another part, when we sit down with our sophomores and our freshmen and our juniors and we start, you know, that best fit school, often the best fit school is a school they can drive home to, say it's a 5, 6, 7 hour drive for a weekend now and then during the course of the school year. And, you know, looking at our community, there isn't, you know, there aren't thousands and thousands of upper middle class folks that can go to the East Coast for university and fly home for Thanksgiving, then fly home for Christmas, then fly home for Easter, because it's just not in the budget. So it's, okay, can I go 10 months without family and friends? Maybe. But there is a lot of attraction to the West Coast.
Parental influence rather than the kids.
You know, a little bit of that.
See you in a while.
See you in a little bit. You know, so there's that. And then there's also, there are opportunities like T.J. Campbell, just named All-State first team quarterback. He's talking with Columbia. Columbia is interested in him for football. So, you know, the Ivy League schools are always part of the conversation. It's just, okay, you know, is that much of a lifestyle change worth it for me? Or maybe is that something I consider for graduate school after 4 years at a UC here in California?
I'll let Dad talk to his grandpa. I won't get in that one. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46, final kind of minutes with Paul. I don't know where kind came from, but it's in there.
I like it.
I guess maybe I'm a kind guy. Yeah?
Oh, and I think I'm the kind one here.
Oh, okay, fine. Are you seeing a change at all, Paul, with this millennial concept or attitude or lifestyle that's coming through? Because certainly things change, you know, when you're designing the classroom curricula, when you're talking about the extracurricular stuff, when you're talking about the future of the school, whatever direction it may be going, cultural changes are a big influencer on remaining viable.
Right.
How is that being incorporated into the model?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I went to St. Bernard's. My parents went to St. Bernard's. My grandfather went to St. Bernard's. My son's a seventh grader now. There is that sense of tradition and, you know, having your core classes and having a rigorous curriculum, talented teachers. So all that is there and remains the same. But technology, you know, is a huge piece of the world. And so that means you have to have robust wireless throughout the school and throughout the dormitory. You have to have wireless carts available to every class. You have to be willing to, at times, hey, pop out those smartphones and you know, let's do some research and, you know, bring up the text from, you know, let's go, you know, 7 minutes into the State of Union address and let's examine the rhetoric and his use of pathos right here. So there's that seamless ability.
Teaching Greek now too?
Yes. Very yes. Cool. Oh, absolutely. Part of every argument, right?
Appeal
to emotion, appeal to authority, right? Appeal
read the
to
Odyssey the logic. In its natural language.
That is actually happening. We poached a Fresno State professor, so she is teaching the Odyssey in its natural language. But that aside,
so
you have the balance of Latin in the school, right? AP calculus in the school, and technology in the school, and looking forward to opportunities as they talk about, as you know, the jobs that many of our kids will be doing after they graduate, they're not there yet. We don't know what it's going to look like. You know, robots will be doing a lot. You know, we laugh about it, but, you know,
in reality,
there will be a whole different landscape in 20 years.
Rob Arkley was in earlier this week. He said that there's some sawmill somewhere that used to have shifts of 400. Now it's two part-timers. It's a new design that's coming on board somewhere in the Midwest.
Right. Yeah.
Things have changed so much, and you know the challenge of, okay, what will be the employment opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
Where are people going to fit in? You got the business efficiencies.
Right.
But now you still need to have the people.
So you need to communicate. You need to be able to problem solve. You need to handle stress. You've got to have some grit. You know, you've got to power through. But doing repetitive action for an hourly wage for 40 years is not a future you're going to have, you know, and who really wants that anyway? So, yeah, the millennials and, you know, you see that on the international side. When I traveled this fall to China, you know, you have 400 million millennials in China. They're monster consumers. They're more Western, you know, than anyone, any other generation has been in China. At the same time, they're also traditionalists and they're connected. They're having conversations across county borders without any problem at all.
Too much fun, huh? Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks so much, Brian. You're a good man.
See everybody tomorrow.